This episode contains discussion of suicide. If you or someone you know is struggling, you can talk to someone at the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling 988.
I got this overwhelming sense of something was going to happen.
Audra Dillon didn't end up with her high school sweetheart, Rand. At least, not at first.
We have known each other forever. We went to school to each other. We were high school sweethearts until just before we graduated from high school. I don't know, things got complicated and we just ended our relationship. I think that we should have paused before we did that, but we didn't, and moved on with our lives. And he got married and had a child with someone else, and then that didn't work out. So he had another, he got married again. In between there, by the way, we had been together a few times in between this. Because, like, we tried to get back together several times. It just was never the right time. We had always talked to each other throughout the years. You know, he's kind of always been my best friend. He's always been somebody that I could go to and talk about things, and he'd tell me the truth. So when we got back together this time, you know, my daughter was graduating, and she was moving on with her life, and it was like, this was it for us. Like, we really were like, we're going to take care of whatever we need to take care of, and that we wanted to live happily ever after.
They both still lived in the same area, west of Rochester, New York. But as she said, there were some things that needed to be taken care of before they moved in together.
At the time that this was going on, he still was married. And when he was about to be divorced, probably within a few days after this happened. And so that's what we were waiting for. And it was quite a process because Rand was a really good man and he loved his children. And, you know, he never really wanted to hurt anybody, but he wanted to be happy.
February 13th, 2009, Audra reluctantly agreed to go out to celebrate Rand's birthday.
Rand's birthday was on Friday the 13th, and I'm very superstitious. So I did not want to go out, but he said, we got to do this. You know, it's my birthday.
Rand had started celebrating early, and Audra met up with him later. They were having a good time until...
I realized that both of us, you know, were drinking quite heavily, and so I backed off, and we tried to get him sober a little bit. We came out of the bar and I was like, you know, let me drive you home. And he was like, no, I don't want you to drive me home. Stupid, but we did.
So they drove home in their respective cars with Audra following behind Rand. So she saw when
he got pulled over and I panicked and turned around and I'm like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this together. So I went back and they got me out of the car and they also tested me.
Audra had been fine to drive, but they took Rand to the police station. Audra got him out and took him back to her place.
So the morning that we got up, I drove, was going to drive him to work. And as we were going to work, I told him to close his eyes and I told him I love him. And, you know, I said, we'll deal with this later. You know, we'll deal with what happened last night later.
But this was actually their last conversation.
This is Live to Tell, the podcast where I talk to some of the bravest people who have been through the most horrifying things and lived to tell the tale. I'm Caitlin Van Maul.
As she was driving Rand to work, Audra saw a man and a woman fighting in the Lakeside Memorial Hospital parking lot.
Basically, I saw her first and him kind of like yelling and screaming and physically had her in the air. And I saw her drop to the ground and I put my car in park and I got out of the car and I ran towards him.
How far away was the car?
Not that far, but I was in the middle of the road and he was in the hospital parking lot. So I was there in like seconds and I was trying to call 911 at the same time that I was yeah, running towards her. As I was running towards them, Rand had gotten out of the car. Rand had called me back. And then he had put up his arms and told the guy, listen, just leave her alone. You know what I mean? And as I turned around and got almost back to him, Rand went down. and I heard the gun go off.
Rand had been shot twice.
You know, when they say they talk about out of body experiences, that's what it felt like. Like, I'm really just watching it, and this is a real movie, not a fake one. And I thought to myself, wow, this is awful. This is an awful way to die.
While Audra was trying to process what just happened, Mary, the woman she came to help, tried to get away.
She ran towards, there's a door that she could have, or she thought she might have got in there, but then she changed her mind. And when she darted towards a different way, he started shooting her at very close range. I, at that point, was not that far away from my car.
Audra ran for her car, and the man ran after her. She had to get out of there immediately, which meant leaving Rand behind.
At that point, pretty much two people were down, and I was afraid I was going to go down next. Mm-hmm. I thought getting to the police station would help him better than me, staying there. You know, and he was coming after me. He did grab my door. So if he had gotten to me, I wouldn't be here either.
The police station was just minutes from the hospital. She just had to get away.
He did come to my car, and he was trying to open up the door. And then I believe I did get away. But then he was in front of me. He was in front of my car. And then he shot at the car several times, and then he shot at the windshield. And there was, you know, there was fragments, and the windshield was broken. I got away by putting my head down and just pushing on the accelerator and going towards Brockport.
Having just been to the police station the night before, Audra knew exactly where she was going.
I had ran into the police station, and I asked for help. You know, when the police officer started asking questions, you know, I didn't really have a whole lot of answers. I was trying to describe the guy. I was just trying to describe what happened to them. At first, they thought that, you know, I might have had a gun on me. They basically were treating me like I was the person who did this. Mm-hmm. So, and then I think I went into total shock.
And I'm sure being told, like, ma'am, calm down is not
Yeah,
helping.
That's not really something that I'm very good at. Like, when people are telling me to calm down, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it's like, no, I need you to be less calm. I need you to meet me up here where I'm at.
Yeah, I kind of thought that Rand was still alive. Maybe he's just laying down. Maybe he's just hurt. So I said, we have to go back. Well, that didn't happen. They ended up throwing me on the wall and getting me stable. And then, yes, that is when I learned that I was shot.
The bullet went through her underarm and into just below her armpit. Audra was taken to the hospital, but had other concerns more pressing than getting treated.
When they told me that I had to go in surgery, I refused to go in surgery until I talked to my daughter. So it took him a while to get in touch with her. And that was a phone call that no child should get. None. So that hurt a lot because I couldn't help her. I couldn't comfort her. I couldn't say I was going to be okay. I couldn't, because at that time I had no idea how and what the damage was.
Audra went into surgery, and by the time she came out, her family and friends had gathered at the hospital. But Audra's hope that Rand would be okay wouldn't come true. He was dead.
I didn't know until I came out of surgery, and they said that, you know, that he was gone. And then when they did tell me, they brought in a counselor and I believe a minister, and yeah, I kind of went nuts on that. I was like, there couldn't be a God, because this is just not happening to me. He took the one person in my life that was my soul, one of my soulmates. I remember saying, like, there can't be a God. Like, this is just not happening. What am I going to do? How am I going to face everybody? I think, like, why me kind of thing? Why would you take this man from me? Why would you take this man from anybody? Mm-hmm. I probably didn't think it this way, but I, like, there's a lot of horrible people out there, and you took this one? Like, how and why? Why would you take this one?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I started screaming, and I wanted to get up, and they wouldn't let me up. So I think they drugged me, and
well,
good night.
Yeah.
But I remember people just, like, trying to hold me down, because all I wanted to do was get up and get out of there and escape. And I wanted to see him. I just wanted to see him. Mm-hmm. And I believe I kept asking, let me see him. Please let me see him.
Audra wouldn't be able to see him until his funeral. But Mary Silliman's funeral, the woman Audra tried to save, was first. Audra got out of the hospital just the night before. But it was important to her to go.
Mary's was already set, and so was his. So I had wanted to go to Mary's to go see her family. And I did. And that was really hard because I tried to save her and I couldn't.
Yeah.
And again, looking at all those people who loved her was just really hard.
Did anyone in Mary's family or anyone at her service talk to you or ask you questions?
Yeah. Yeah. Both her parents and her significant other did ask me a few questions, but at the time I couldn't answer them for them.
What types of questions were they?
I just remember them saying, did I know she suffered? I didn't. And I'm pretty sure she didn't. Either one of them did. You know, now being shot, I can tell people it's very quick. You know, it's very quick. So do I think that they suffered? No. Did I think he overshot her? Yes. Yes.
While Audra was welcome at Mary's funeral, Rand's was a different story.
For reasons mostly to do with his wife and his children, you know, I was treated like a stranger. People said, well, if he hadn't have been with me, this would have never happened. And this is when things got complicated. Yeah. His wife did not want me there at all. Mm-hmm. I was able to see him for the first time. This is the first time I'd seen him. But a few minutes later, a police officer was there to ask me to leave. I knew him. And he said, Audra, I need you to come with me.
And to interrupt the moment that you had with him,
mm-hmm.
to not just let you have that.
Yeah. I thought I was being respectful by not going to the day showing and just going to the night showing. I thought I was being somewhat respectful, but apparently she didn't see it that way. Mm. There was some commotion between our friends and family, and it was just decided that I would just stay in another room and not be in the room that Rand was actually in. Did I understand in some sense of her not wanting me to be there? Yes, but he wouldn't have wanted that. And it was all about him at that point.
And Audra's grief was all consuming.
I disassociated a lot. I pulled away a lot from a lot of people. A lot of people pulled away from me. I wasn't living. I was just there.
And it wasn't getting better.
I was very suicidal at that time. And I think people were waiting to see if I'd make it through it. I do remember confiding in a friend of mine. And then they wanted to hospitalize me. And when they got me to the hospital, I'm like, you can't do this. Like, I can't do this. You can't close those doors behind me. I think that would have done more damage to me than anything. I'm not really sure I would have survived that. Till this day, I don't think I could survive that. I'm not really sure.
It was decided a partial hospitalization would be best for Audra.
So I was impartial for 2 to 3 weeks.
What does that mean?
Impartial means instead of being like hospitalized, you basically go to like a day hospital, learning skills to get your mind off of certain things. Did I think that it helped? Looking back on it, I think it was just a place for me to go to be safe for the time being. I don't remember much of it. I didn't understand why I was there because all I wanted to do was talk about it and talk about him and talk about, and I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I couldn't process anything.
Could you not talk about it because like you couldn't talk about it, or because there was no one available to talk with?
I didn't have a lot of support. And, you know, people go to the vet's hospital for PTSD, or they go to grief counseling, and there wasn't a lot that for me, there wasn't, you know, it just wasn't there. So the only reason I can tell you that I made it through that situation without committing suicide was because when I was younger, I did try to commit suicide and Ran was there for me. And, you know, that is probably the biggest reason why I didn't, is because I knew that if I did, it would be just awful to him.
Yeah.
You know, I would be disappointing him more than I would anybody.
Audra had seen so much tragedy in her life. Losing Rand was just the next thing in a laundry list of loss.
When I was young, my great-grandmother and my mother passed away. Mm. They were in a truck, in a camper truck, and sucked all the oxygen down. So I lost my mom when I was 4 and a half. Never knew my mom. My grandparents tried to bring me up the best they could, and my grandmother was a very sick woman. She lost her daughter. She lost her mom at the same time. And I think that that affected her physically and mentally. The sexual abuse that I've had in my life is more than one should have to go through. And for the longest time, I didn't know who my dad was. I had a sister and brother, and I was taken away from them. So, you know, we were separated. Mm-hmm. I have been pregnant before and had to give up the child because, you know, it just wasn't the right time. Mm-hmm. And that weighed on me for years until I had a child.
Yeah.
I thought I was a horrible person because of that. And the people that I loved closest to me hurt me the most.
Mm. Yeah, we can be done with the list. That's a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah. I just was broken. And I don't think people know how to fix that. I usually can fix myself, right? I usually can do that. But I usually hit bottom before I go back up. So there's times where I don't want to get out of bed. There's times that, you know, we live in New York and it's seasonal depression. The holidays are really hard for me. I think my whole life, it's just been about survival. Mm-hmm. It's not been about the fairy tale. I just want to be safe. And I am a strong person and I am a very loving person, but I also am tired. You know, tired of always having to fight, always having to wonder when it's going to be okay. When am I going to just be like, nothing else can hurt me. Nothing else can touch me. There's no guarantees with that, ever.
Audra's mental health battle really impacted her relationship with her daughter.
Here she was, thanking God that her mother was still alive, but in the process of seeing her mother go downhill quickly because another person was gone. And our relationship was not okay for some time. Mm-hmm. You know, you always want your mom to be stronger, right? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like that then. I was consumed by all of the grief and all of the guilt and all of the why me. And I remember the words that she had said to me at some point, stop acting like a victim and start acting like a survivor. My daughter gave me some tough love, you know, but you know what? Looking back on that now, I mean, she kind of just wanted her mom back. Like,
yes.
And she would still say that probably now.
A lot of people in Rand's life blamed Audra for his death. And one person went to really hateful measures to make sure Audra was aware of how they felt.
30 days after I got out of the hospital, I had a friend of mine stop over, and thank God that he was there. I'd got an envelope and a letter in it with a razor blade and said, it basically said, here's a razor blade, you know, kill yourself because you've killed him.
Audra figured out years later who sent it to her, but doesn't want to share their name publicly.
It was cruel, but it happened and I don't know why anybody would send somebody like that a letter, but.
I just want to know when you stopped feeling suicidal.
This is an interesting question. I just had this conversation with somebody the other day. So I'm not an expert. I can just tell you from my own experience. People who are suicidal are always suicidal. They don't ever stop. They fight it. They have reasons to fight it, but they never stop. So, yes, at some point when I went ahead and I stopped thinking about it, so much. But there has been times in my life that, you know, I still think about it. I mean, I've had joy in my life too. You know what I mean? Like, I have two grandbabies. My daughter is very successful in her life, and that gives me lots of joy. And, you know, thank God that she did not have the cloud over her head. Thank God.
We'll be right back. In addition to shooting Audra and killing Rand and Mary Solomon, Frank Garcia also faced charges for murdering Kimberly and Christopher Glatz. Garcia had been employed as a nurse, but had been fired the day before the shootings for sexually harassing Mary Solomon. After he killed Mary and Rand, he drove about an hour to the home of Kimberly Glatz, whom he worked with in 2008 before being fired from that job as well. Kimberly, her husband Christopher, and their two teenage children were all home. Garcia held the family captive for hours before shooting the parents execution style while the kids were in another room. He surrendered to police later that day, but pled not guilty to all charges. There would be two trials. First, for the crimes in the Glatz home, which he was found guilty and sentenced to life without parole. Then, he faced trial for the crimes in the hospital parking lot. Audra testified.
You know, I think he tried to say that it wasn't him. And, you know, I don't know why anyone would have thought I wouldn't have remembered the guy, because he literally was on top of my car. It definitely was him. But they had other evidence. He was so arrogant and about his everything about him. I just learned a lot about myself. Like, I knew I had to do it. I had to do that for myself, had to do it for his family. I had to look at him, and I did. But yeah, I learned a lot about myself through the trial. I really, there was times where I couldn't believe that I was sitting there and listening to all this stuff. Yeah, it was hard, but you know, I did do it.
Frank Garcia was found guilty, and he received three more life sentences, two for the murders and one for attempting to murder Audra. In March of 2017, the appellate court said the life sentence he got for attempted murder was not legal. He was resentenced to 25 years to life for attempting to kill Audra.
So I went into court, and when he said Miss Dillon must be mistaken, I really remember getting up and the police officer being right next to me as soon as I got up, because I was just like, he's not saying this. Like, he really just said that. So yes, I found it still to these years, after these years, you're still saying it after all these years that you were not the person.
While it took time, Audra eventually felt emotionally and physically ready to go back to work. She had been shot in the arm, and being a hairstylist, fully functioning arms are pretty important. How much damage to your arm and side did it do?
I still have numbness. I still have damage. There is a bullet inside, which a lot of people don't realize that I still have a bullet inside. It was not something that they could take out. They just needed to leave it there. But I've been able to overcome it. At first, it was really hard because it kind of feels like in my fingers, it kind of still feels like, you know, it's asleep sometimes. Mm-hmm. There is damage in there. You know, I have the bullet checked at least every 2 to 3 years. It has to be checked to make sure that, you know, it's not doing more damage. Or I worked at a place that was a banquet place, kind of like you would, you know, it was weddings and parties and stuff like that. I started to work at that, and I started to get a little bit stronger. And when you're a hairdresser, obviously you don't want a hairdresser crying all the time. And I couldn't stop crying. It took time. It took almost 3 years, at least 3 years, before I went back and started doing hair.
But once she did go back to doing hair, she had a weird name pop up in her appointments. Frank Garcia's wife.
And she actually sat in my chair and I did her hair.
Did you guys talk?
No, I froze. I went into professional mode. Mm-hmm. Do I wish I had have asked her? Like, do you not know who I mean? I mean, if you looked at my pictures, it's not like I changed. You know what I mean? So it's really hard for me to believe that she didn't know it was me. do you know how many salons are in Greece and Rochester, and you show up at the one salon that your husband or ex-husband, you know, shot? I mean, it was just, and am I uncomfortable about it? Yes, I don't, I have expressed my concern about it. You know, if you have something to say to me or you want to say something to me, you know, just do it. For the longest time, I don't even know this. I mean, maybe she still goes and sees him. She does have children with him.
Yeah.
You know, and do I feel sorry for her too? You know, she's, this has been hard for her too, I'm sure. You know, she's had to bring up 3 children by herself.
While Audra didn't talk to his wife about what happened, and though Frank Garcia denied any wrongdoing in court, Audra would still be open to having a conversation with him.
I still want this. And I believe I looked it up. I believe there's situations where people get to see their person or whoever hurt them or whoever, you know, and to me, and this is going to go into the forgiveness part, I would love for him to say, I did this. He doesn't have to say, I'm sorry. But admitting that he did this, admitting to what he did to our families, it's not just me. There's children and families that he destroyed. Why did you do this? Like, so for me, if he would just be honest, I think that I would like to see that. And I wanted to tell him what he did to us, not just me, to us, to Rand's parents, his brothers, you know, his children. If I could say everything I wanted to say to him, like I said before, you know, I might be able to be in a better place about it, but that's never going to happen. Well, I don't know, maybe it will happen someday, but it's not going to happen anytime soon.
And even if it does, there's no guarantee
right.
that he's going to respond in a way
that I'm going to want.
Yeah. How do you feel about forgiveness?
Yeah, I think you have to forgive people for what they've done to you. I don't think you can survive without it. People ask me all the time, do you forgive this man for what he did? I don't believe I would be here today if I held on to that, not forgiveness. I really don't think that there's no way you can get through life without forgiveness. I don't think you can. Mm-hmm. Do I think it makes you a stronger, more healthier person? Yes.
How did you come to a place of forgiveness with him? That's a big thing to forgive.
You know, I don't know. Because you can't hold on to it. You know, if you hold on to the anger and the, you know, all of that darkness, it'll eat you alive. Forgiving what he did to other people, though, is a little different for me. I still get angry about what he did to his children, about what he did to his own children, about what he's done to the people I love or surrounding us. For me, I have to forgive him, because if I don't, I wouldn't be sitting here. So, but it'd be a lot easier if he would just say, yes, I did this, and he has remorse, but he doesn't.
Frank Garcia will probably never give Audra what she wants, and her mental health may never be fully in check. But that doesn't mean she can't see all the beautiful things she has in her life.
I got to be a grandma. I got to love again. I got to see my child get married. I have tons of friends. I have been successful in my life as far as, you know, my profession, although hairdressers do not make a lot of money.
Tip your hairdressers.
Yeah, tip your hairdressers. Yeah, I feel like every year that I'm still here, you know, it's a blessing. Sometimes I think it's a curse, but there's times where I think it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Do I ask myself? Yeah, of course I've said this. Do I ask myself, why me? Of course. I think anybody who's gone through that much trauma and asked himself, like, what do I do now? Is there a purpose? What is my purpose here? When I talk about Rand, though, I always smile when I talk about him, because there's nothing that I can't smile about with him. What happened to us is a different story, but with him, himself, you know, the stories and the things about him, and it's comforting.
This is Live to Tell. I'm Caitlin Van Maul. You can follow the show on Instagram and TikTok at Live to Tell Podcast. If you enjoy today's episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps the show. I'll see you in 2 weeks.